ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर्स 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल लॉर्ड स्लेस द किंग ऑफ द डेमन्स। श्री नारद उवाच अथ श्री नारद उवाच अथ दैत्यसुता सर्वे श्रुत्वा तद् अनुवर्णितम् जगृहो निरवद्यत्वा नैव गुरु अनुशिक्षतम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Narad Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by the teachers Shanda and Amarka. Purport. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narad Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text Number 25, सताम प्रसंगान मम वीर संविदो भवंती रितकर्ण रसायन कथाः। इफ वन ट्राइज टू अंडरस्टैंड द डिस्कोर्सेस गिवन बाय द सत और प्योर डिवोटीज देन दोज इंस्ट्रक्शन विल बी वेरी प्लीजिंग टू द ईयर एंड अपीलिंग टू द हार्ट। दस इफ वन इज इंस्पायर्ड टू टेक टू कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस एंड इफ वन प्रैक्टिसेस द प्रोसेस इन हिज लाइफ ही इज श्योरली सक्सेसफुल इन रिटर्निंग होम बैक टू गॉडेड। बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ प्रहलाद महाराज all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. So, Narad Muni, in this particular verse, he is speaking about the effect of preaching of Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates. That so effective was his preaching that though his classmates were born from a family of demons, they immediately rejected their teachers Chandya and Amarka, and they wanted to take up to this process of Krishna consciousness which Prahlad Maharaj was preaching so strongly about. And Prabhupada gives a very nice purport saying that how if a devotee is very qualified and serious about understanding spiritual life, and if the preacher who is preaching, he is preaching according to instructions which has received from his spiritual master, then the preaching is very effective. So today I thought I'll just share with you some of the qualities what a preacher should actually possess in order to effectively have influence on those whom they are preaching to. So this is a very feeble attempt. So please, if there are any mistakes, you please forgive me. If there are things to add, you can add. It is said that as Prahlad Maharaj, the way he preached, he was a very powerful preacher actually, and very fearless also. You can imagine Hiranyakashipu, who was at that time the master of the universe. He had actually conquered the entire universe. Everyone would be afraid of him. Even the demigods would be afraid of him. But Prahlad Maharaj was one person who wasn't afraid of Hiranyakashipu. And he did not bother about, you know, preaching to him directly, straight. What he could have done is that he could have just, in front of his father, he would have just spoken very sweet words to him and then continued on his preaching. But he was so fearless and so powerful he was preaching that even Hiranyakashipu was taken aback by his, you know, statements. And after that, he did not stop over there. Whoever he was in contact with, his students, his classmates, when there was free time, his classmates wanted to do something else. But Prahlad Maharaj preached to them so strongly and influenced them by his words. And this is one of the qualities of a preacher, actually. A preacher is a very, you know, very forceful and very powerful. We find that how in the life of Srila Prabhupada also, Srila Prabhupada was such a powerful preacher. If you see many other times when his disciples would always speak about him, they would always say that he was a very powerful and fearless preacher. He would dispel the illusions of someone who comes in front of them, you know, and he would not care who the person is in front. A person would be strongly, you know, preaching about impersonalism, and Prabhupada will completely smash the impersonalist concept. And by his attempt, he would influence people to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. If not, at least they will accept. Yes, sometimes there will be a lot of TV shows, talk shows, and Srila Prabhupada would be asked very challenging questions, and then Prabhupada would be very, very strongly just attacking them, and they would have to accept that. No? You dispel the illusions. You defeat the atheistic philosophy. Darwin's philosophy. Nobody would dare to, you know, challenge Darwin's philosophy. But Prabhupada was one person who challenged directly Darwin, what he preached also. And we find how he had so much of discussion with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj on scientific basis, that how he completely smashed that particular concept, the basis. He just, just removed the basis, very foundation of that philosophy by his preaching. So, Prahlad Maharaj was like that. Prahlad Maharaj preached, and you find that all the great, powerful acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Sastrakar was like that. Another powerful, he was called as a Simha Guru. He was like a lion. No Mayavadi could stand in front of him. Anybody would come, it was mentioned that, you know, whenever Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur would walk on the streets of Mayapur, Navadip Dham, anybody would come, a Mayavadi would be there in front, he would just go and take the other route. He would never even come in front of him. Because they could not accept his challenge, they could not face his challenge. So this is the first thing that a preacher actually possesses. It's very powerful, and at the same time he is very fearless. The second quality of a preacher is that he is resourceful. That means he has that rich knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj received all this spiritual knowledge from his spiritual master Narad Muni while he was in the womb. And because of which he was so convinced of that philosophy that he was ready to preach to even his father, Hiranyakashipu, and not only him, to his classmates also. So unless until you receive the instructions from the proper authorities, spiritual authorities, you will not be armed with facing someone or preaching to them. Srila Prabhupada always wanted that the disciples should be completely equipped with knowledge, spiritual knowledge, so that they can confront someone who challenges us. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, I had written so many books for this purpose, so that you can all be equipped and you can preach. You can preach this. And not only that, when we approach others, just to their wrong conception, we can just come out of the present our philosophy and tell them what is the truth. So Prahlad Maharaj was like that. Srila Prabhupada, you know that he heard from his spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta Sasa Thakur very, very strongly, very intensely he would hear. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur even noticed that. And he said that because this person is hearing so nicely, in due course of time, when the right time comes, he'll be able to preach also very strongly. And that was the quality of Srila Prabhupada. Because he received these spiritual instructions from the higher authorities. And that too, you know, hearing in a mood of urgency. Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb. And Narad Muni, when he was preaching, Narad Muni knew that a person inside a womb is a very special person. Prahlad Maharaj accepted it in the mood of urgency. As one would say that even Kayadu heard from Narad Muni. That means Prahlad Maharaj's mother also heard. Prahlad Maharaj also heard within the womb. So what was the difference? Both of them were receiving spiritual instruction, but he received in the mood of urgency. And he assimilated everything, whatever he heard from his spiritual master. Whereas Kayadu, as soon as she came back to the palace, she forgot everything. She forgot everything once she came to the association of Hiranyakashipu. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj did not do that. So it is said that one has to receive the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, and not in a very lukewarm manner, but in a mood of urgency. That's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada always mentioned that when you are hearing and actually sitting in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, one has to sit in a mood of urgency. That what is it going to be? What is that I am going to hear which will really help me to, you know, advance in spiritual life? So if you hear in this mood, it's said that this really will have effect. And you will, whatever you heard, you will be able to assimilate and you can also preach accordingly. So this was it's a mood of a preacher. That he is very resourceful, he always has that and he is equipped with to preach. The third quality of a preacher is that is encouraging and always enthusiastic. That a preacher, his mood is one of encouraging someone whom is he preaching to. And at the same time, he also enthuses them to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. We see that when Hiranyakashipu asked him, what did you learn in the school? Of course, Prahlad Maharaj answered. And he would nicely tell him that you also should take to this process. You should go to Vrindavan and then you should also take. He would somehow or other, you know, in a very different way encourage. See how he was trying to preach to his classmates. Now the whole chapter is on that, how he's preaching. And he's trying to somehow or other, you know, infuse that spark of Krishna consciousness within his classmates and enthuse them and encourage them to take to this process. Srila Prabhupada would always do like that. Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would encounter anyone, he would always see what that person has, some quality the person has, then he would somehow or other encourage that person, glorify the person, and then, you know, somehow engage him in Krishna's service. Once it so happened, Amrish Prabhu, he was mentioning that once Srila Prabhupada was in that same temple and Amrish Prabhu got up late. He could not get up in time for Mangal Aarti. And everyone were there for Mangal Aarti. And that was Prabhupada's instruction. And he reached the temple hall quite late after the Mangal Aarti was over also. So he was feeling very morose and ashamed because he came very late to the temple. And everyone looking at him because he is one person who has not followed the instructions. But Prabhupada, when he saw him, he said, it's okay, Amrish Prabhu, it's fine. Better late than never. You know, and Amrish Prabhu was saying, when Prabhupada mentioned like that, I was feeling so good. I said, you know, he was really encouraging like that, devotees. Prabhupada enthuse the spirit of Krishna consciousness in his disciples. By looking at Srila Prabhupada, by just following his example, people would just be inspired to take to the process. Prabhupada's desire was that preaching should take place in London. So three grihastha couples, they all the way went to London to preach. Prabhupada wanted that people should, you know, distribute his books, and he would inspire so many people to distribute books, and Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party was mainly for that purpose of distributions. Prabhupada wanted farm projects, and people would be just living or, you know, sacrificing their lives for just some or the other, you know, building up these farm projects. So like that, Prabhupada, by his example and by his words, he would enthuse people and encourage people to take to this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. The fourth quality that a preacher should have is a preacher should be accessible. Like many times what will happen is that a preacher would just preach and go away. And you want to want his association for something and is not there, becomes difficult. So one of the very important qualities of the preacher should be that he should be easily accessible to someone who needs his guidance or his instruction. How Prahlad Maharaj was accessible to his friends. They would ask him questions and he would answer them. He would just give them all the wonderful guidance instructions. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that, you know, Prabhupada would never like to answer phone calls. Like every places there would be telephone system. But Prabhupada would never, have this habit of, being on the phone for long. As now we all have the habit of having mobiles. We find everyone is just on the mobiles, communication system. But Prabhupada was never for it. And that disciple of Srila Prabhupada was saying that Prabhupada would always sometimes strangely look at a phone, you know. Like sometimes when it would ring, he would look very strangely at the phone. And he said that, you know, this phone is actually a nuisance. It's actually a nuisance. It just takes away your precious energy out from you. And once he told his disciples, he said, your phone rings all the time because there are so many phone calls coming. He says, your phone rings all the time. He said, in India, he said, you know, no one would call anyone before they come to their house, before they show up to the house. They would just walk in. And the culture of India would be, okay, come, please come, you know. But now what happens in the West, anywhere, now this culture has come here also. You should not go to somebody else's house till you tell them that you are coming. Prabhupada said, in India, no one calls before they come. They just show up at the door and you just say, please come in. He said, so in India, the philosophy is open door, open window and open mind. He said, open door, open window, open mind. So Prabhupada was having that principle that, you know, easily accessible. That anyone can come, okay, anyone can take his association. At one place, there was one very old man who would always come and Prabhupada would be there sitting in the room and he would just come and sit there. And he was a diseased person. He had some disease. But he would just come, sit and waste his precious time. He would just sit there and some other, you know, just sit over there. And the disciples would be very angry with this person. And one day, they told this old man that you please get out from here and you should not come here and waste Prabhupada's time. Actually, wasting Prabhupada, you just sit in one particular corner, observe him, you know, some other be there. And the devotees prevented him from coming. For many days, Prabhupada realized that this person is not coming. He asked his disciples, he says, where is this person? And of course, that day, that person came and he met him. He said, why are you not coming? He said, because Prabhupada, they told me not to come. And he said, who told you not to come? And then he said, you know, one of your... And he called them and he chastised them very heavily. And he said, no, you can come and meet me whenever you want to. So this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada always would make himself available for anyone. The fifth quality of a preacher is that he should be very, very caring and compassionate. He should be very, very caring. That's a mood of a preacher, actually. It was Prahlad Maharaj's compassionate nature that made him preach to his father and to his classmates. Of course, for him, you know, his classmates are the only one whom he would always associate with. And he wanted that they should be able to take this wonderful gift of Krishna's consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj would do like that. This was the mood of Narad Muni also. Narad Muni would always be, you know, all these great preachers would be always compassionate and caring. And when someone is compassionate and caring, a person feels very comfortable also in that particular person's presence. Because when you know that somebody is caring for me, you feel very comfortable. Even if you have a lot of anxieties also, when you are there in front of that person, you know, because he's very compassionate, he's very caring, you feel very comfortable. And that was Srila Prabhupada's nature too. Srila Prabhupada would always be very compassionate upon. His first exhibition of compassion was that he wrote all these books for all of us. He wrote so many books. And he said, this I have written for my disciples, for my followers to read. And that was his first exhibition of compassion. And otherwise also, he would be so caring for his disciples, for anyone who would come to the temple. We have so many instances. We see how during Guru Puja, somebody had a, you know, problem in his foot, and you would ask him, did you take a medicine? Did you meet a doctor? Gave him the money also. He said, so please buy. So that way he was very caring, actually. And one thing that Srila Prabhupada really did was that he never allowed anyone to criticize his disciples. If somebody would attack his disciples, he would be very strong with that person. Once it so happened in a temple, somebody came and he saw that most of the people in the class were sleeping. And this person was little inimical. And he approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I think all your disciples in the class are sleeping. So Prabhupada said, really, are they sleeping? He says, Prabhupada, at least 95% of the time they are sleeping. He says, really? So that means you say that 95% of the time they are sleeping? He says, yes, Prabhupada. He says, that means at least 5% they are awake. He says, my disciples, at least 5% they are awake to hear what I am saying. But you fool, you fellow, foolish fellow, because you don't even come and hear, you are sleeping all the time. And he chastised him so much. He says, you are talking about this, at least these people are at least attentive for 5%, they are hearing 5%. But you are one person, you know, who doesn't even hear anything. So actually I would consider that you are sleeping all the time, not even 5%. And that person did not have anything to say. He was just quiet. And once Giriraj Maharaj speaks about the story of Crazy Peter. Giriraj Maharaj was in Boston Temple, and there was this person, Peter. He would always come and he would just sit in a very awkward fashion, you know, just spread his legs around and just lie in the hallway. And you know, the temple authorities wanted to throw him out. Prabhupada said, no, let him be there. Satsur Maharaj was a temple president. He said, he wrote a letter. He said, Prabhupada, what should I do about this? He says, let him remain over there. And this Peter would do any crazy things, and that's the reason he was nicknamed as Crazy Peter. And Giriraj Maharaj would mention that, you know, after some time when he left that temple, he tried to find out where this person is. He left from Boston, he went to New York, and then later on, you know, he went to New Vrindavan. And he was staying in New Vrindavan for a long time. And then Giriraj Maharaj said, I lost touch with him because I knew that he is somewhere, maybe somewhere. And then after 20 years, he again found him in a Los Angeles temple. And he said, oh, are you this same, is he the same Crazy Peter? And he said, yes. And he's now Kushakrit, because he was supposed to take that time, 20 years back, he took initiation. And he's now, that time he was Kushakrit Prabhu. And he was told, Giriraj Maharaj told, that this Kushakrit Prabhu is now translating all the Bengali and Sanskrit into English language. So means he was so much well-versed with Sanskrit, Bengali, he was translating all the books into the English language. My goodness, Giriraj Maharaj said, what a vision that Srila Prabhupada had, that, you know, such a compassion on this person. So there's a story of Crazy Peter. The sixth quality of a preacher is that he should be very humble. It is said, Prahlad Maharaj never gave credit to all the preaching to himself. He gave all the credit to his spiritual master, Shripad Narad Muni. He said, as I have heard from my spiritual master, Narad Muni, I am repeating it to you. He was telling his classmates. He never took the credit for himself. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada did not take any credit for any of the preaching activities or the success of the preaching. He always gave credit to the superiors, to Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, his spiritual master. And he would always say, I am just a postal peon and I am a humble servant of everyone. You know, many people sometimes challenge, oh, you think you are the pure devotee? He says, no, I am a servant of everyone. He would always be in that mood. And he would never take any glorification, accept anything for himself. He would always give that glory to the Krishna Acharya. That is the nature of a preacher. Because unless until he thinks himself humble, the preaching will not be so effective. If a person thinks that he is doing everything and it's because of him, then he's in a very, very miserable situation of life. He'll not be able to do anything. The seventh quality is that a preacher is very expert. He's a very expert preacher. He has to exhibit his expertise in giving this knowledge. The right words, the right time, and what to say, the right thing. Someone has to be expert. Expertly preaching just so that he can influence someone to take to the process. Like Ambarish Prabhu, first time he met, somebody introduced him. Sir Prabhupada, he is a great grandson of Henry Ford. And Prabhupada asked him, he said, oh, is it? Where is he now? And suddenly Ambarish Prabhu said, even I realized, where is he? They realized that, yes, he is no more now. So actually, Prabhupada was very expert like this. Many times he would go for a walk and, people would just argue. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, sometimes I fall into Maya. Prabhupada said, no, you are always in Maya and sometimes you fall in Krishna. And this person realized, yeah. On a morning walk, somebody asked, Prabhupada, what do you think about this philosophy of sex? Somebody, one preacher is talking about, that you can attain spirituality through sex. And Prabhupada said, this is dog philosophy. And he said, are you a dog? He directly asked him, no? He asked the disciple, he said, are you a dog? No, Prabhupada. He says, what you are speaking is dog philosophy. And that was enough for the person to understand that this is not approved. So Prabhupada was like that. He would always expertly try to infuse that Krishna consciousness in a person whom he would preach to. He was very, very expert into doing that. It is said that once, this Bhavanand Prabhu is mentioning that Bhavanand Prabhu and Prabhupada were just walking, and Bhavanand Prabhu, this was in Beverly Hills, and Bhavanand Prabhu would just look at the wonderful skyscrapers and the wonderful nice parks, the greeneries, and would appreciate so many things which are there around. And slowly his mind was getting swayed away by the wonderful things of this world. And as he was almost into that, dream state, Prabhupada just, as they were passing by lawn, Prabhupada coughed very loudly, like this. And he spat in the lawn, Just at that moment, he just spat. And Bhavan Prabhu says, when he spat around over there, he realized, he was thinking of it, and Prabhupada immediately spat over there. She said, it's an indication that, what he's thinking about, everything was just all nonsense. Just forget about everything and then, take to this. So these are the things, Prabhupada would always do that. And not only like this, but Prabhupada would always expertly see that how we can encourage someone to take to this process. And the eighth one, is a preacher, his main concern is to revive the faith in the faithless, in the mood of selfless service. The Prahlad Maharaj actually did not care about his imminent faith while preaching. He knew that if he had preached to his classmates, and definitely if the classmates stick to this process, that is end of his life. He knew that he was in danger. He was in danger the moment he decided that he has to preach to his classmates. Because that was one thing which his father did not want. He was sent into this school of Shandan Amarka because to learn about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But then he was preaching something else to his classmates, and his classmates were very attentively listening, and he was knowing that what he is up to. But somehow or the other, he wanted to just revive that faith in those people, that means his classmates, who were demoniac, born in a demoniac family. He was only interested in giving the classmates a chance to be Krishna consciousness, to be Krishna conscious. So this is a mood of a preacher, a mood of selfless service actually. A preacher never thinks about himself. He always thinks about how I can give something to him so that he can revive the faith. Narad Muni did like that. Narad Muni wanted to preach to Mrighari. Mrighari was not a devotee. He was actually killing the animals, half. And you see them in pain, and then that would give him pleasure, and he would get a lot of enjoyment. And the animals would die like that. But Narad Muni, in order to revive the faith, he showed him that what he would undergo if because of his sins. And when he saw the flashback of what things he had done and how much trouble or problems that he would have to in a future lives, then he said, yes, I should take to this process. Then he accepted what Narad Muni actually wanted to say. So this was the thing which Narad Muni did. And Srila Prabhupada also would do like that. He would somehow or the other revive the faith in the faithless. Somebody would come to preach, somebody would come with argument, and Prabhupada would just speak to him, and then some other make him a devotee. Somebody would come and he would be a racer, and Prabhupada would just somehow or the other talk to him about motor car racing and everything, and then ultimately come to the point of talking about how in a car racing there can be so many deaths which can take place, and that's how speak to him. So Prabhupada had different ways by which he would revive the faith in the faithless. Badrinarayan Prabhu would mention that one person in Chicago, he was a professor, a Vedantist, spiritual Vedantist. He was learning that philosophy. So he came to Prabhupada and he started speaking to Prabhupada. It was very, very strongly speaking to Prabhupada and in a very challenging way. Sir Prabhupada, whereas I understand that Vedanta means like this, and then ultimately, you have a form, and then after some time you become formless, and then you become, impersonal, and you just merge into the existence. It's just going on. And Prabhupada just listening to him. And Prabhupada said, are you finished? He says, no, it was going on. He says, are you finished? Prabhupada had that patience. And then after some time, after he said, yes, are you finished? And after that, Prabhupada started. And when Prabhupada started, he just started quoting from Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads. And he started quoting each and every shlokas from each of these and trying to defeated, each and every point which Prabhupada, that person was presenting. And this person was flabbergasted. He said, just pounding and pounding. Badrinarayan Prabhu was saying that he was pounding such a way that first that person was like this, and then he became like this, and then he stooped down, and he went down on the knees, complete on the knees. And Prabhupada said, any more questions? And the way he looked at him, Badrinarayan Prabhu says, the person was like this, humble, and says, Prabhupada, can we have kirtan? Means he came into that state and he said, Prabhupada, can we have kirtan? And he just had to accept what Prabhupada had to say. So this was what, Prabhupada would always do. And just a small story before I conclude. This is not from the Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. But this just to exhibit the mood at how a devotee has to be a selfless preacher, a mood of selfless service. This is from the Christian philosophy. There is a great lady known as Lady Bernadette. I do not know the exact, you know, full detail of this, but what I heard from my wife, and she had heard from her mother, and which she had heard from her teachers. So, but this, I really was very impressed by this particular story of hers. It is said that this Lady Bernadette, she was born in France. This is in a place in France, Lourdes. The place Lourdes in France. And she was a daughter of a woodcutter. And the three daughters, very poor. And every day, the daughters would also accompany the father in the forest to cut wood. But this lady would not be at all interested in all these material activities. She would always be just thinking about something. She would be engaged, she would be dreaming about something, you know. When everyone else would be engaged in some work, she would be just only meditating or dreaming about something. And the family members would think that she is a lazy person. And she was only trying to avoid something. And when asked, she would just say that, you know, like, I'm thinking about God, I'm remembering God, and it's God's calling. And they would never believe that what she would say. And one day when she was passing like this, she came across a very, shrine, and which was very shining very much. And she approached that place, and she had a darshan of a lady. And when asked who you are, she said, I am Saint Mary. I am the Lady of Immaculate Conception. Because Saint Mary was born just like that. She was not born from a normal union of a man and woman. And she started conversing with her. And she would always say that, you know, that I would like to just surrender to this particular, and please help me. And Saint Mary would preach to her nicely. And every time she would go, she would just spend time there, and the family members would always only criticize her for everything. And once she told Saint Mary that, why don't you just, you know, why can't they see you? He said, because they are sinful, that's why they cannot see me. But because you are sinless, you are seeing me. And ultimately, so happened that, you know, she said, please, some or the other, you know, do something, because they think that, you know, I am like this. Please try to instill some faith in them. So Saint Mary said, okay. He says, the place where I am now, there is a very rocky place. He says, tell all the people to come and dig in this rocky mountain. And there will be water coming out from there, and that water will wash away the sins, wash away all the material diseases of the people, and tell them to help you, and whatever water comes, just tell them to take bath. And if the water touches you also, anyone, it will purify them. So she called all these people, and everyone came with their instruments to dig. But they were digging and digging and digging, and nothing would come out. And ultimately, it said that, you know, they were all started criticizing her. He says, you are foolish, and you are just trying to waste our time also, and so. Some others, she wanted to just... No. Ultimately, she had to herself, with her own hands, started digging and digging. She did dig deeper, 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 and little bit of water started coming. And after some time, the water started gushing out. And she started calling that, please take advantage of this. And then once, you know, one person came, was blind, and got his eyesight back. Somebody was diseased. They were cured. And slowly, everyone started getting faith in what she was saying. And this was like, of course, I'm talking about material thing, but her purpose was that to develop faith in the Lord. And slowly and slowly, people would just accept what she was saying. And she decided that she'll remain a nun, and she would never, get married. And she wanted to do this service of preaching the truth to whoever she meets. And so happened that after some time, she's very young. She died at the age of 28 or 29. And It seems once she fell sick and she contracted tuberculosis. And she was on the deathbed. And that time there was no cure for that. And she was so much in agony. And somebody said, why don't you just go to that place? And you can also take advantage of the water over there. You will also be cured of that. So she approached Saint Mary and said, can I also take bath over there? So she said, Bernadette, that water is not for you. He says, your life is for others. And a life of a preacher is that of a selfless service. Your life is only meant for serving others and not for you. He says, that water is not for you. She took that message. She went back and she just was preaching in that situation, and then ultimately she left her body that way. And that place is still there, and then she became famous as Saint Bernadette. So just hearing there, I was just remembering that for devotees, our life is that of a selfless service. That Prabhupada did like that, and he expected us also be of that. You know, some or the other, come out of our comfort zone and then try to, you know, serve others, not expecting anything for yourself. Amanina manadina. You never expect for oneself. Always want to serve others. That is the mood of a selfless servant, actually. Of course, that particular incident is, you know, somehow material and also somehow faith. But here we are talking about how we can apply, we can learn something. What is that? We can learn that how preacher's mood is that that of a selfless servant. That is always there, trying to just somehow or extend himself to infuse Krishna consciousness in those, whoever you meet. And do what is necessary, not caring about yourself. Or not even taking credit for anything for yourself. And that is a mood that everyone has to take. And that a preacher actually has that. A preacher is that of, you know, he always revives the faith in the faithless. So, this is actually an acronym, you know, it's a preacher is P-R-E-A-C-H-E-R. So, what I said about 8 points is that, you know, it's like, he's powerful, he's resourceful, he's encouraging, he's accessible, he's caring, he's humble, he's expert, and he's always there for reviving the faith in the faithless. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So that makes him a good preacher. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.